This is the SF Signal Podcast. I'm your host. My name is Patrick Hester. I am an author, a blogger, and an all-around functional nerd. And tonight, we're back, and we have tons of things to talk about, and we even invited Fred. So Fred's going to be here. He's taking a break from a new podcast, I guess he's starting. I haven't heard much about it yet, but I guess they're hoping to have their first episode soon. It's based on the Age of Apocalypse from Marvel. Is that correct? No? Fred's just not going to go for it. Okay. Let's say hello to folks. Well, we're going to start with Lisa because we haven't heard from Lisa in a long time.
Hi, Patrick. This is Lisa Faith Spindler.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good.
With Annie? Do we like what's going on?
Well, do you think she's going to go private sector?
I don't know. And what's with the thing that she keeps shooting up in her leg?
Well, she has myocarditis, which is, I think, if I understand correctly, is an inflammation around the heart. So she caught something when she'd gone rogue.
Mm. I'm worried about her. I'm worried about Augie, too. I think he's going to get busted. So, of course, we're talking about Covert Affairs because Lisa's like the only other person I know of who actively watches Covert Affairs.
Augie's going to get burned by that Inquisitor that he's hooked up with.
Are we happy with Arthur's new job?
I think it's going to drive a wedge between the two of them.
The two of who?
Arthur and what's her name that now has sleeves?
Joan. Well, she had a baby.
You notice she has sleeves all the time now.
Well, she had a baby, so I guess she has baby fat in her arms?
I don't know.
It's weird. Yeah, because she didn't wear sleeves until she was pregnant.
Right.
And then suddenly sleeves everywhere. So yeah, something weird there. Okay, so anyway, Lisa, how's it going?
It's going. Still trying to work on the danger blog. Mm-hmm. Still have the spiral path out there.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, I'll probably write a sequel if I can find some time in my crazy life.
No pressure from the publisher on that? They're not like beating down your door saying, where's the sequel?
I think they'd be happy to hear from me. But
okay.
I'm beating down my door.
Gotcha. That's kind of a cool publisher. Most people complain about the editor deadlines.
No, they're pretty easygoing.
Okay, second up tonight, in her debut, I believe, on the panel portion of this, we have Delilah S. Dawson.
Ooh, hello. Yes, I am Delilah S. Dawson. I write the Blood series of steampunk fantasy, and I have my YA debut is out this August 5th. It's called Servants of the Storm, and it is a Southern Gothic horror that does include barbecue that may or may not be made out of people. and I've got more stuff on the horizon. I just sold the fourth Blood book.
I was just going to say, yeah. Didn't I see something about that on a picture or something?
Yes. The first book ended on a very minor little cliffhanger of the point of like, you think everything is fine, but it's not. Bye. And so they bought the fourth one. So I guess do that. And then I have another YA that's out in April called Hit that is about teen assassins in a bank-owned America.
I mean, and I interrupted you, as I do, as you were saying, the name of the fourth book in the Blood series.
Wicked Ever After.
Wicked.
They all start with Wicked. So it's Wicked as They Come, Wicked as She Wants, Wicked After Midnight, and this last one will be Wicked Ever After.
There you go. Very cool. All righty. Let's see. Fred.
Patrick.
How's it going?
Oh, it's going quite well. How about you?
Good.
How's the new job?
Okay. Better, but busy.
How's the new relationship?
Good.
Okay.
John doesn't actually believe that she exists.
How's the new hat? The most important
question. Oh, the new hat is very cool. Yeah, it was sheltering me from the rain that day. And I think it helps me blend in. You know, when I'm wearing that and a TARDIS shirt and blue jeans, no one can see me in the wild.
Hmm.
At all.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah, the new job is crazy busy, though. That's why we've been away for a while. And every other day when I get the email or the direct message from DiNardo going, is there a podcast coming tonight?
Uh-huh.
I feel just a little bit more guilty.
It's a good thing you have other podcasts on the feed to depend on then.
Not that I'm aware of. I think Karen and Karen haven't actually been doing one lately. So
that's true. That's true.
I think the Horseman's getting more downloads than yours, Patrick. Not sure. I'll check.
Oh, snap.
Bam.
Damn. Okay. Well, that's fine.
That's how it is.
I see how it is.
Bear claws rule. I kid. Bear
claws
rule.
Bear claws rule. Hi, John.
Hey, how's it going, folks? John DiNardo, resident blogger at SF Signal here, and I write a weekly column at the Kirkus Reviews blog. How's everybody doing?
Good. What's the column?
It is a weekly column about science fiction books.
What was the last column?
The one that posted this past week?
Yeah.
That was the, I'm a couple ahead and in the queue. Oh, this was the, was it the best book? Oh, no, it was just today. Oh, sorry. It was today. It's Wednesday. It's the first part of a two-part article on all of the billions and billions of Stephen King stories that are being made into television shows or movies.
Hmm.
There was, you know, I accumulate these roundups of all these adaptations you know, they're kind of piling up. And then after a while, it's like, oh, there's two Stephen King stories in the queue. And then there's three, and then there's four. And then there was just like a ton of them. And I was like, oh, I can do a whole article on just the Stephen King ones. Yeah. And it turned out into two articles. There were so many when I started digging.
So the next one will be part two.
Next one will be part two next Wednesday, which will be, I guess, 2 days after this airs.
Mm. It depends. I have another podcast I could place too.
Oh, sweet.
So depending on, you know, what's going on with the Three Horsemen in their first episode, I might push this one out 2 weeks.
You know, that never gets old.
Maybe not for some people.
You know, Fred also linked me today to his blog, and I'm like, dropping. Oh, cool, you started a blog.
And I'm also on Twitter.
The only thing that's missing when you bring it up is Patterson's cackle.
I can probably isolate that from an old episode and just kind of insert it in somewhere.
You need to paste it to the end of the outros, right?
Yeah, exactly. All righty. So we have lots of things to talk about tonight. Let's start with, Lisa has to run. She may not be able to stay for the entire 3-hour podcast, which Delilah doesn't know about yet. But Lisa,
this morning I'm here.
Lisa,
Delilah, it's happened.
Lisa, what do you want to start with? We had a bunch of topics here.
I think you. Well, I think you were talking about the movie of the summer.
Yeah. What's your favorite? Yeah. What's your favorite summer movie so far?
Well, because I have not yet seen Edge of Tomorrow, even though I tweeted and Facebooked all sorts of crazy about it because I love the book All You Need Is Kill. It came out while I was on vacation, and I was at the beach. So I have not seen that yet. Had I seen it, I suspect that would be my answer. However, close second, and right now first, is Maleficent, because I've always loved that character. The darker side of anything like that, just I loved it. It was great.
I have seen Edge of Tomorrow.
Yes, what did
and
you think?
I enjoyed it immensely. I thought it was clever, and the humor was great. And I like how the Tom Cruise character changed.
Mm-hmm.
In the course of the hour and whatever, however many minutes it was. And it felt like Groundhog Day with, you know, Mac.
Yes. That's a great way to describe it.
Yeah. And I love how they reset the day.
Yes.
And I love that he came to hate when they would reset the day. And he wanted, you know, he would like break his legs or something, and she'd be, oh, let's reset. He's like, no, I'm okay. I can get up. I'll walk. Boom.
I got a tweet reply from Emily Blunt when I was tweeting about Edge of Tomorrow.
Did you really?
So I feel like I dropped the ball by not being able to see it yet, but my life got in the way. So I will definitely be making a point to see it soon.
Is there something else you're looking forward to?
I'm not even sure what's out. I mean, those two movies sort of have been monopolizing my movie going opportunities. So
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, well, yes. What is the actual release date for that?
August.
Okay.
I believe.
Is it early August?
August 1st.
Well, good. Because my birthday is right around that time, so I can go to see it for my birthday.
There you go. Delilah, how about you?
My favorite movie so far has been X-Men Days of Future Past.
That was a good one.
I'm a fan of all the X-Men movies. I love McAvoy. I love Fassbender. I really enjoy this full version of Wolverine, and I really liked getting to see Quicksilver. The whole thing was like fine holiday fun. I have a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old, and for the first time we can go see like the adventure movies. Even when we only got to see like 2 movies a year, it was always the biggest kind of superhero or action movie. So now that we can all go as a family, aside from Wolverine dropping F-bombs, it's the best thing that's ever happened.
He has to. He's being true to character.
And it was a brilliant joke, because, I mean, it played right off of, you know, the last X-Men, McAvoy Fassbender, but still, yeah, my kid after was like, I saw Wolverine's butt, and then he said the F-word. And I'm like, I'm a good mom. But, you know, it's good storytelling, so I'm sure that they're absorbing some of that. I actually, I saw Maleficent, and it bothered me. It did not make me as happy as I thought it would.
Uh-oh. Lisa?
I'm sorry to hear that.
The visuals are beautiful, and any feature that's got a woman as a main character, I'm down with. But as a storyteller, I found a lot of plot holes that made me unhappy.
In hindsight, there were a few cliches that I felt that would have been better without it. But I went to, you're talking about going to see it with your kids. Well, I have an 11-year-old daughter, and so it was really fun to take to just the two of us to go see that movie together. So that was, I think, a big part of the experience for me.
Now, that is a Disney movie, right?
Yes, for Halloween now.
I'm sorry, Delilah, I cut you off. What was that?
My daughter is 7, and she wants to do Maleficent for Halloween. I have the early Maleficent when she was all kind of mossy and brown and wings, and then she wants to be dark Maleficent, so we're both going to be different Maleficents for Halloween.
That's cool.
A great idea.
And then is it like she's going to go up to the door, or you're going to go up to the door, and then the other person's going to go up, and then like pretend like you're the exact same character coming back over and over and over again?
Maleficent, you shrunk.
I'm really glad to hear someone else who's thinking about their Halloween costume in July, because I already have mine planned out as well. And not a lot of people I know are looking at me like, you're already thinking about Halloween. Well, yes, of course I am.
I plan on thinking about what I'm going to wear to work tomorrow when I wake up.
Well, that I do. But Halloween, that's something different.
Mm. Well, see, I do cosplay for Dragon Con, which is coming up as well. So I'm going to try the you know, Baby Maleficent costume there and see how it flies.
That's cool.
So now we come to the portion of the podcast where we ask the two people who never, ever, ever see movies if they have any favorite movies that came out this summer or are coming out this summer. Let's start with you, Fred.
Well, actually, I have seen a movie this summer. And in fact, I saw it twice. Because my daughter has turned into a big kaiju fan. After resisting Pacific Rim for over a year, I put it on and she loved it. So then she saw the trailers for Godzilla. So, of course, we saw Godzilla. And then a week later, we saw it again because my wife had to miss it the first time.
So is that your favorite then?
No, my favorite hasn't come out yet.
What are you waiting for?
Guardians of the Galaxy, Patrick.
Nice.
Woo-hoo!
Just because of the raccoon. That's the only reason. Yeah.
Nothing wrong with a talking raccoon.
That's right.
When it's Bradley Cooper, he's going to rock it so hard.
I mean, talking raccoon with a machine gun, so, you know, even better.
Yeah, and if you think Wolverine is bad with the F-bombs. What about you, John?
I have not seen a whole bunch of movies this summer. However, damn you for being right. So, however, there are a bunch of them I'd like to see. So X-Men, love to see that. Guardians, Edge of Tomorrow, the new Planet of the Apes. I really enjoyed the first one. And Lucy would be cool to see. You know, movies that I'm less interested in seeing are like Transformers, maybe Spider-Man 2. The first one didn't. It's like too soon for Spider-Man, it seems. But if I may slip in a movie from last winter, since I'm a little behind, I recently saw Thor Dark World,
mm-hmm.
Which maybe because a buddy at work said it wasn't so good, but it was already on my Netflix queue. When it came in the mail, I watched it. Maybe I have my expectations low, but I thought it was great.
I liked it.
A lot of fun with it. Thought it was good.
Loki makes that movie. I mean, he really does.
Yeah. He's a good character, right? But I thought you know, the visuals were good. The story moved along. There were some, you know, kind of convenient moments, but you know, all in all, kind of a fun summer movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
although it was in winter.
That was kind of setting trying to set a little bit of a tone for Marvel in space.
Yeah, well, and I guess time-wise, that was that Well, this is before it was before Captain America, right? And then there was the new Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. season. Is that how that went?
The Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was before, and then it kind of ran into Captain America 2.
Okay,
yes.
All right. Yeah.
But yeah, I
which
think
is another movie
first.
I've yet to see, Captain America 2. I haven't seen that yet.
That's a good one.
So I'm a little behind. Actually, I just saw also the Hulk movie with Edward Norton.
Really?
Yeah, well, because the one that I saw with Eric Bana was so bad that I just stayed away from the other Hulk one. But
And what's surprising is that so many people didn't see that coming with Nick Nolte cast in the movie.
Yeah, well, he was no right Jeff Bridges from Iron Man, right?
Well, I guess they couldn't get Rutger Hauer, so.
Oh, my God.
So I'm a little out of sync with summer movies.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, we know how much you love to read. So have you been reading? Have you?
Oh, is curse there... you. You're just going to. No, I haven't been reading much. there are several books that I've started and enjoyed and then life interrupts and I couldn't finish. The Girl with All the Gifts was enjoyable until I stopped reading it. The Revolutions by Felix Gilman was a book I was enjoying until I stopped reading it, and now I'm partway through the new Year's Best by Dozois, which is, you know, I can pick that up again because they're short stories, right? I figure that's more in line with my reading habits these days. So that's what I'm currently reading.
Gotcha. Have you ever read a book that you swore you would never ever read?
No, there's too many books I want to read to pick up something that I don't, right? That's not even in on my radar, any books I don't want to read.
Okay.
There are a lot of books that I want to read that tend, you know, my to-be-read pile churns, right, as people start talking about books and they get me excited about books. And, right, The Cibola Burn is out now by James Corey, so it's like I just reminds me I need to pick up Leviathan Wakes and read that like I wanted to when it first came out years ago.
Just wait for the sci-fi series.
Yeah, I know, right?
Which you won't have time to watch, so.
Yeah, well, TV, oddly enough, TV, I do have time to watch because, you know, when I get free time, it's late. And if I sit down to read, I tend to fall asleep. But if I can sit in front of a TV and turn off my brain and watch TV and not fall asleep, oddly enough. I don't know why that is, but it is.
Hmm. Lisa, what about you? Is there any books you read that you swore you wouldn't ever read, but just for some reason, peer pressure, whatever, you decided to go ahead and read it?
Well, to play off something John just said, that I have the same challenge that I don't have a lot of reading time, and when I do, it's late that I find myself in front of the TV in a very similar way. And also to play off something, John, I have to preface my book answer with, John, I did not plan this because I did not know you were going to be on the podcast tonight, but the book that I picked up this summer that I did not expect to be reading...
Oh,
was
no.
The Quantum Thief.
Oh, that's okay. No, that's okay.
I read it on vacation, so I had a lot of uninterrupted time, not late in the evening. I could see, if I remember correctly, what the things, John, that you said about it was that it was just hard to get into because you couldn't devote time to it. And I could see if you didn't have the time to sit there and read it start to finish, with hardly any interruption.
That's okay. You don't have to justify my bad reading experience.
I did like it, but it did require some effort. It did require, you know, focus to keep track of all the threads going on. But I did enjoy it.
Yeah, try reading like 2 pages a day across 3 weeks. See how
that would be really hard. Yeah. Now I read it in, I think, 3 days sitting on the beach.
Yeah,
so
awesome.
So for Delilah's benefit, Delilah, the reason I'm laughing so hard is because John tried to read the Quantum Thief, but he just kept getting interrupted. So it the experience of reading it was torture because he kept, you know, like getting these false starts and have to start over and just read, like he said, you know, 2 pages a day for like 3 weeks in a row. Yeah. And it was just a horrible experience for him.
Yeah,
I might have had more luck reading The Quantum Leaf, Patrick.
I know, I'm sorry.
It's funny that you mentioned that, though, Lisa, because Hannu Rajenami, and I'm probably pronouncing his name wrong, he's got a collection coming out in 2015 from Tachyon. They just posted the cover, and it looks cool. So I've enjoyed his short fiction. I've read a couple of short stories of his that I've enjoyed. It's just that the Quantum Thief hit me when it was when my reading time just started getting cut short, early 2000.
I remember reading one of his short fiction pieces a while before Quantum Thief came out, and remember enjoying it, though I cannot for the life remember what the title was. But I do have The Fractal Prince, which is the sequel, on my list of books to pick up soon. So,
but and the third one's out soon?
I think the third is about to come out.
Yeah. Like this week, I think.
Yeah.
Well, if it makes you feel any better at all, I bought Skin Job from Jim Butcher, and I was very excited. Got it and sat down to read it and read a chapter and then got distracted and a bunch of stuff happens. And then I read another chapter and a month goes by and I'm sitting here going, I'm never going to be able to finish this book. So I finally broke down and did what I think Fred has suggested a couple times. I went to Audible.
Yep.
And I got the audiobook. And when, you know, Fred was mentioning the new relationship. She lives in Colorado Springs, so I drive down there quite a bit. It's like an hour to an hour and a half drive, depending on traffic. And I just put that, you know, I've got my phone connected to my stereo. I put that in and I listen to James Marsters, and it's great. You know, I'm able to actually move through the book a little bit. And I'm sure people are wondering why the guy driving down the road is laughing as hard as he is.
Because but that's how you always
just,
drive.
It's just hilarious. It's great stuff. Delilah, what about you?
Yeah, I had to read 50 Shades of Grey.
Wow.
Well, that's the thing. My book, I wrote it as a steampunk adventure fantasy. And when they wanted me to up the romance and it got shelved in romance, I would go to cons or be put on panels or people would be talking about this. And I found that I had nothing intelligent to say other than kind of making vomity faces, which made me feel like, you know, if people want to know my feelings on it, I should have more feelings than it sounds wretched. So, yeah, I got it and read it. And you know what? You know what it was? It was wretched.
Delilah, that is the only book I have ever returned.
Well, you know, it's funny.
You read it as a writer and you're like, there must be something here. Like the number of people that have read it, there's got to be something. And what I've come away with is that I didn't personally like much about it, and I didn't think that the writing was super strong or that the story was good at all, but it gave the women of America the excuse to read erotica in public, and that's a great thing. Like, that is super powerful. I'm really glad it exists. I just never want to touch it again.
So Michelle she started a like a critique group, not a critique group. It's a book club kind of reading group. Anyway, they're reading Twilight, and they're doing it on purpose to dissect it and figure out what made it so popular and why people. Yeah. And so I keep hearing all this stuff about Twilight, and I'm like, hey, I don't want to hear anything about Twilight. I'm 100% Twilight free. I have no intention of ever reading that. I have no intention of ever seeing the movies. I want nothing to do with it whatsoever. And then I get a look.
Yeah,
it's not going to happen. I'm not going to have anything to do with that book.
You heard it here first.
Exactly. Now, we know that Fred doesn't like to read, so we should probably move on to the next topic.
He doesn't read a whole lot of short stories, I hear.
Mm. Nope.
Or not anything.
Really. Every day on Twitter.
So, Fred, books.
Have I ever read a book that I didn't want to read?
Yes.
Not since college.
Okay.
And thank you very much. That's the last time it happened, and it will never happen again.
What did they make you read in college?
Lots of books I didn't want to read.
Like what? Like The Natural?
The Natural. No. I think the one that I really despised was actually either Woman on the Edge of Time by Marge Piercy or The Handmaid's Tale by Atwood.
Mm.
Neither of them really thrilled me. I mean, let's be honest. If you look at the blog that I just started today,
the one that's named after the potato peeler, okay?
Yes, the one that I just started today. You'll see that I've read 66 books this year. And John, I'm now at 536 short works for the year.
Oh, you are just inhuman.
So he's trying to catch Sarah.
I don't have to read stuff I don't want, because even though, here's my point, even though I've read X number of books and 500 short stories, I look around this room and there are piles upon. I don't have one mount to be read. I have 75 mount to be read.
Still buying them faster than you can read them. Awesome.
I'm actually giving them away faster than I can read them, but they seem to multiply when I turn around.
So Delilah, prior to tonight, you probably didn't know Fred, but Fred is what's keeping the publishing industry in the black.
He's pretty much Ken Liu of readers.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's the what now? I heard that.
He is the Ken Liu of readers.
Nice.
Ken is a very prolific short story writer.
Yes. Well, him and Sarah. Excellent. Him and Sarah. Sarah's
way ahead of me.
Ridiculous amount of books.
She's way ahead of me.
And unfortunately, right now she's going through some stuff, and that gives her the opportunity to read even more. Yeah. So
are we going to go back to that? I guess was part one something that I really liked this year, or is that coming later?
Something that you really like? What, like a book?
Yeah, that I read.
Yeah. What did you read that you really liked?
Well, I mean, I read The Roadside Picnic by the Strugatsky brothers early this year, and I had tried to read that once before and was very impressed with it. Just looking real quickly.
Have you read Karen's Egan book?
I'm about three quarters of the way through it.
Is it as dense as reading an Egan book?
No.
Okay.
Definitely not. The things that I mean, the closest I can come to stuff that I was quote unquote forced to read, and it's just I move these things up further. Anything that was nominated for the Nebula this year, I read six of the eight, I think.
Wow.
And I would have gotten around to reading them, but, you know, I wasn't intending on reading them like this year. I mean, mostly I buy a book in 2013 and I don't get it till read it till 2017 because there's such a backlog. But I really enjoyed that, especially the Golem and the Djinn. Strange in Olandria was very good. I really liked Linda Nagata's book. So, you know, I was very impressed this year with the Nebula nominees and winners. And one book that everyone seemed to be talking about, so that's why I read it, was Weir's The Martian, which was just me. Wait, John, you had time to read a book?
That one I did read. Yeah. Oh, I reviewed that even.
Yes, I know. I was pulling your leg. But that's one of the reasons I read it was that you were enthused. So many people I knew were enthused. So it wasn't so much that I didn't want to read it. I just said, I'll get around to it. But I pushed it up just because everyone was so enthused about it.
Someone even picked it as their pick of the week over on Functional Nerds one day.
Hmm.
So I think it finally broke the run of Ancillary Justice.
Is that a website?
Yeah. So...
Insert Patterson cackle here. That's awesome.
So, Fred, we know that you are a fan of Doctor Who. We know that your daughter has gotten into Doctor Who thanks to the rebooted stuff, but she also likes the classic stuff. Are you guys excited about the new Doctor Who season? They finally announced it's coming in August.
She's excited, yes.
You're not?
Well, without getting into too many details, there's a lot of stuff going on, and I really haven't been watching a lot of TV. So she actually went through the entire new series again, like in about 2 weeks. As soon as school started winding down, she started watching them like two episodes a day.
Wow.
And went through the whole series in 2 weeks. So she's excited. I mean, I'll watch it. I'm interested. Definitely would like to see what they do. But she's the one that's stole my Doctor Who scarf and refuses to give it back. So, you know.
Lisa, what about you?
You're asking me that, Doctor Who?
Yes.
I was excited when they were going to announce a new one, but it's just another old white guy. Kind of bored.
Okay. I think Delilah, do you have the same opinion?
I haven't been able to get into it. Like I love David Tennant, so I was super excited when he became the Doctor, and like even with him, there's something about, I don't know if it's the Britishness or the effects, but like I couldn't get into it, and I feel almost guilty. Like I love the fandom, I love Whovians, and I love that it's so welcoming and joyous, and they're just such kind people, and I feel bad for not liking it more.
Well, so then here's a question. So Lisa, what's on your TV radar? What's being watched in the Spindler house?
Defiance.
Oh, you like Space Eureka? Okay.
I do like Space Eureka. It's actually has a lot in common with Farscape because it's Rock Neobanyan, and you can see some of the aliens are quite similar to what was in Farscape, I think. But I like the storyline with Arisa. It's just interesting to me.
Okay.
What network is that on?
The channel formerly known as Sci-Fi.
Yeah. Imagine Greater.
Is it what? They seriously changed their name again or not?
It's a symbol now.
Oh, God.
It's an unpronounceable symbol. Not. Yeah. If you tell you what, it's the channel known as Sci-Fi in Australia.
God.
Does that help? Does that clarify?
Yes.
Okay. Anything else on your TV watching horizon there, Lisa?
Not really.
Okay.
Covered Affairs, obviously.
Covered Affairs, yes. Suits?
No.
You're not a fan of Donna? Okay. Are you doing Falling Skies?
No, I would like to, though. I keep hearing random people mention it, so I guess I got to check it out, but I don't know.
Stop at season one.
Okay.
John's not a fan of the Skitters.
Don't even bother with season one.
Well, they're trying to reboot. It's almost like they're trying to reboot. Well, it's like they're trying to reboot this new season, but really it's like the writers just threw up their hands and went, I don't know, let's just throw random stories out there that make no sense, and let's undo everything we did in the previous seasons, and let's just start again. Because they're totally not picking up story. You know what? I don't want to talk about Falling Skies.
So what you're saying is they hired Kevin Sorbo as a writer.
Oh, really? Well, I have been watching True Blood for seasons and seasons.
No, not all really. Patrick, you can't. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's what he did to Andromeda. He's like, I really don't understand the scripts. I don't understand all the writing. I don't understand what's going on. I don't get it. So you need to fire all the writers, and we need to start over.
With your deadpan delivery, poor Lisa thinks it's real, thinks that's true. That's not true. Don't believe anything Patrick says. Bagels are better than Bear Claws.
You guys reminded me, though, that I am also watching Continuum.
Okay.
I'm enjoying that. And I'm binge watching Leverage on Netflix.
Oh, Leverage is an awesome show. It always has, yeah.
So
Delilah, is there any television watching in your house?
Not a ton. We tend to buy things. We get really excited and binge watch them either on Xbox or as DVDs. So like we finished Hannibal, and then we tried Orphan Black. We tried American Horror Story, and like nothing. How do you follow Hannibal? So I've been really hardcore writing and editing this summer, and just haven't bothered to find something new. But I think True Detective is the next thing on our list.
Oh, True Detective was a great one.
Yeah, but it's really fantastic.
So what, I mean, when you do Netflix and stuff, you don't do Netflix. Okay.
Mm-mm. No, we order things on Xbox.
Xbox. Okay.
Yeah. We live up in the mountains. Our internet is horrific. So yeah, we did Hannibal, and we Community season 5 and season 3 of Adventure Time. And that's all we've done this summer.
Gotcha. Okay. So, Fred, I don't know if you're into any TV. Are you watching anything? Is the kid watching Legend of Korra season 3?
We tried that on her. She really, really wasn't interested.
I had trouble getting to Korra.
Yeah, I mean, here's the problem with TV in my house. My wife works. She starts at 4:45 in the morning, so she goes to bed at 8:00. So I can't watch any TV after 8:00. And a lot of nights I get home at, 8:00.
Gotcha.
So I haven't really been watching much of anything.
Okay.
I still haven't even seen season 3 of Sherlock. So
nope. Neither have I.
Has anyone been catching the new Will Wheaton project show?
Yes. Love it.
It's like talk soup for geeks,
yes,
right?
Yes. I love it.
Yeah.
So, I had heard that the first episode or so was super rough, and like the first week was rough.
It was a little rough.
But maybe finding the groove. I mean, there's some misses, but mostly hits, right? With their mm-hmm. bits, you know.
They had Felicia Day on, right? Yeah.
Yes. That's Andy Serkis was on this week.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah! Wow.
Okay. Yeah.
Fun show.
You had the guy from The Nerdist on.
Chris Hardwick.
Chris Hardwick. Yeah. Yes. So, John, is there any television watching going on in your house? I know you've got the child in training to be the next generation.
Yeah, she's we're Doctor Who fans. Although we, you know, the more they drag on the off seasons, right? The longer they drag out the time between seasons, it's like the less interested we get, right?
Exactly.
It's,
that's what happens to me.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll watch it and maybe we'll get excited about it. Right now, we're, you know, we're, when's the date? August something?
August
whatever.
Something,
we'll catch
yeah.
it. Tebow will pick it up and we'll, you know, we'll watch it. Other shows like so again, Falling Skies. Oh, you know, I'm just whatever. Three episodes in, I'm calling it done. I'm calling it DOA. It's just don't even get me started. And then started watching Last Ship. Anyone watching this one?
I've heard that that's good.
Yeah, the first episode was good. Well, I saw the first episode after the first episode of the crap fest that was Falling Skies. So by comparison, it was great. It moved fast and it was kind of an interesting plot. But then, you know, there are two or three episodes in there and there's like things that aren't making sense either. First of all, there's another ship. They're not the last ship, right? And there's that whole thing and they got to deal with the resource thing and they're... The math's not adding up. They said at one point that 80% of the world was infected, and anyone infected dies within 2 days. So there's like no dead bodies around when they hit land, which they're always doing. They're on a ship, but they're always hitting land. It's just it's a little bit over the map.
Hmm. Gotcha.
And I'm surprised they're not blowing their budget on the collagen for what's her name's lips. It's just out of control.
Rhona Mitra. Yeah.
Is that her? I don't know. It's so distracting.
So does she qualify as a danger gal, Lisa?
I haven't been watching it, so I can tell you.
Well, she was actually, she was the boss for at least a season of Strike Back. So she was kicking ass, taking names. No?
No. Mm. She could be. I'll have to look into it and get back to you.
Gotcha.
So that's about all the sci-fi watching I'm doing. The you know what I am enjoying? It's not sci-fi, but it ought to be, is 24.
Really? I have never been able to get into that show ever.
So I was on that train for its whole run, and it, you know, the seasons kind of got worse once they jumped the cougar, and people who watch it will know what that means. You know, it kind of went downhill from there. But for some reason, I guess with the 12 episode focus, they're really staying on target. And they're really just, it's just very tight and fast moving and just a lot of fun, you know, like blood pumping, you know, exciting, getting up from my chair, you know, just, ugh. You know, it's not something you want to watch like before you go to bed because like your blood's going when you're watching it. At least for me, it's very enjoyable.
Mm. So it seems like the trend now is for these cable channels like Starz and HBO and those to kind of do the cool, gritty sci-fi fantasy shows. Do you agree with that, John?
For example?
Game of Thrones. You've got Spartacus was kind of a little bit, maybe, sort of, kind of. I don't know.
Oh, maybe, yeah. And I think BBC America's doing...
You got Orphan Black, yeah. You've got Atlantis, Lost Girl. You've got all these. Yeah, Atlantis. Yeah. I don't think was really
Orphan Black is. You know, everyone's raving about Orphan Black, and that was another one which I probably gave up on too early because it was good. I liked it when it started, and then a couple episodes were like so-so, and I was like, "Life is short. I ain't got time."
Well, John, that's sort of where I am with that too.
Everyone keeps telling me to watch Arrow and Lost Girl, and I just can't.
Arrow.
I'm like five episodes in, and my husband's like, I give up, and like turns over, and I'm like, well, what am I going to just watch it by myself? Like,
hey, Delilah.
Yeah.
Ollie takes his shirt off in every single episode.
Pretty much every episode.
I need
my husband and I have a drinking game.
I have abs at home. Okay, I need something to my eyeliner.
We play games about calling it about how many minutes in is he going to take his shirt off.
And then like jump up and do a couple of chin ups or something. Yeah.
Or drink wine.
So Delilah, when is Starz going to come knocking on your door for blood?
Oh gosh.
See what I did there? See what I did?
I would love that. That's my hope. Like Outlander was one of my all time favorite books. And they're finally after like 20 years getting an Outlander one. And I'm like, okay, if Outlander could just spark the interest in like, wow, women like adventuresome romances and this goes as well as comic book shows and vampires, like that would, blood would have really, it'd be hard to produce. Like there's a lot of special effects there. But it would rock.
It would.
I'd like to see Criminy Stain.
Mm-hmm. That'd be cool. So I have just a couple more questions for you guys, then I'll let you go. What comic book should Fred be reading? Fred has gotten into comic books in no small part thanks to Jeff Patterson and myself, I think. He's talking about him all the time and making tons of jokes. So obviously we want him to read Power Pack. We want him to read anything with Squirrel Girl. Great Lakes Avengers.
My favorite one is Saga. I'm big into Saga.
Saga is cool. Yeah, Saga is cool. Everybody recommends Saga. What about Skull Kickers?
I was reading Skull Kickers a long time ago, Patrick.
Yeah.
And Jim Zub is super nice. Like, he's got stories about his parents and Skull Kickers that are just hilarious. I want to read it now just because he was so nice to me at Phoenix Comic Con.
And that's actually why I'm reading the Pathfinder comic, even though I don't play the game. It's because he's writing it.
Mm-hmm. And that's good. Yeah, I think it was even reviewed over at Kirkus.
Mm. Nice.
Yeah. Is that a website?
Yeah, Kirkus Reviews.
What hack wrote that?
I know. That's a trip. But yeah, I'm thinking Power Pack. That'd be a good one for you. There's also, what was it called? Construction Inc. or something like that. It was like the Marvel Universe. They come in and clean up after all the superheroes have destroyed the city. That'd be a good one for you. Mask. They made a four-part miniseries of Mask. That'd be good. That'd help you out. There's the G.I. Joe versus Transformers that nearly made Larry Hama walk off the book. You should go read that. They blow up Bumblebee.
Oh, don't tell me that.
Yeah. Duke orders it. It was pretty mean. No, nothing. Okay. So I am curious, just, are you guys going to any conventions? Is there anything on the horizon? Is there anything super sci-fi fantasy genre thing that you are super, super excited about, Lisa?
I've already done all my trips for the short term. So, I mean, I wish that I were going to be going to a couple more. There's some local shows that I wouldn't mind seeing, but I really, unfortunately, I'm not even going to RWA this year. So,
wow.
I know.
Well, you may not know this about Delilah, but she does not like conventions at all. She dislikes Dragon Con. She says just too many people.
Yeah,
that's a lie, and I'm going to go to hell for that.
Oh, I figured it was a lie. You mentioned cosplay earlier. I figured, I know Patrick well enough now.
What cons are you going to hit this year, Delilah?
Yes, Dragon Con is the next big one. I'm super excited because I'm on the YA track for the first time this year, and the urban fantasy track is growing, and we're trying to take over and force all of the writers to hang out at the Westin, because that's like the biggest problem with Dragon Con for me, is that all these awesome writers are there, but we're all separated. It's not just a writing track, it's horror and fantasy and urban fantasy and epic fantasy, and so now we're going to try to tell all the writers, like, hey, if you're bored, go hang out at the Westin and we will all chill together. And I have this like grand dream that Servants of the Storm will hit the YA list and I'll get to go to New York, because I've always wanted to go to New York Comic Con, but that's kind of one of those things where like it's big and scary and expensive, and unless they want you to go, it's kind of like being a mouse in the labyrinth with 1,000 minotaurs.
Yes. Understood. Fred, are you gonna leave the house and actually go to a con this year?
Probably not, because I have a pending $3,000 bill for dental work.
Ouch.
Which is only being covered to the extent of $200. So
ouch.
All of a sudden my finances took a big dive.
That sucks.
This is why teeth are bad.
Well, and our company also announced that they're changing the medical coverage, and our deductible for family is going to go to $6,000.
Ouch.
Yes, so.
Wow.
Conventions.
Did they basically say that, I don't know about you, my health insurance actually was canceled because they said it didn't exist anymore. So we had to go to a different plan completely.
No, they claim it's because they're raising the prices. Mm. So.
Gotcha.
They're passing the savings on to us.
There you go. Isn't that sweet of them?
Yep.
America.
And John, we know that you are going to, I think you said you were going to fly to Japan for a convention.
No.
Was it Australia?
Went to ApolloCon a couple of weeks ago. That was enjoyable. As for my future con plans, man, time-wise, I'd just be happy if I found time to read a book.
So Lisa has to go. Lisa, why don't you finish out and just tell people your website and stuff, and then I'll let you go.
You can find me at lisapatespindler.com. That's where the Home of the Danger Gal blog is. And hopefully I'll be back on SF Signal since I was just on a mind meld here today. Awesome.
And you're on Twitter and Facebook and all that good stuff too,
right? I am. Lisa Spindler on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Okay.
Yes, indeedy.
Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
No problem.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Bye, Lisa.
Bye-bye.
So, John, see you later.
So, John, you went to ApolloCon.
I did.
That's your local con, right?
That's the one in Houston here,
And by local, I mean it's in Houston, so it's at least an hour away.
It's not that bad.
It's just down the block.
It's the it's the local one, right? So trying to go to arena, but there was a lot fewer like of the local Texas riders than there were usually. Stina wasn't there, Derek wasn't there, Scott Cup wasn't there, Alex Martinez wasn't there.
How come?
I don't know. Other con plans? Maybe some of them are planning on going to Worldcon and trying to save money. I don't know. I have no idea. But it was fun. I was only able to go for one day. It was fun. I might go to, you know, I ran into one of the guys who who's on the convention staff for FenCon, which is one in Dallas. You know, I'll try to hit that. We'll see how that goes. There's also Armadillo Con in Austin. I might try to hit that. We'll see. It's tough. It's a busy summer. So
you going to come up we'll for see. Mile High Con?
That would be awesome. But I don't know. Doubtful.
Karen and Curtis might come.
I know, right? How cool would that be?
Because they live here now.
I know. I hardly saw her when she was here.
I actually got to have lunch with her.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and see the baby. So there.
That's cool.
So part of what we wanted to discuss a little bit, the idea that I kind of threw around in the emails that I sent out was a concept that is wholly unique and has never been done before. Shut up, Fred. Which is that we might actually pick a book and talk and like read it. And then next month at some point in an episode, just talk about that book. So we're trying to essentially get John to read a book.
Oh, is that what this is about?
So we're kind of limited in our choices of what books to pick. We're limited by the books received page on SF Signal, which John has access to all those books. So what? Roughly you're looking at somewhere around 10,000 books.
I can there's buy not books, a lot Patrick. Of
choices there.
I still do buy books.
It's like John gets 30 books a week or something, and
oh my God.
And so yeah, there's not a whole lot to choose from there.
You could basically just build a fort out of them, and
it's funny. Yeah. It's funny that you think he hasn't.
He probably
it's
don't.
There's it's an interesting maze of boxes in different parts of the house, and you know I keep them long enough until it's obvious reviewers aren't going to request them to read, and then I have to cull them for library donation trips, and
oh my
that's,
God, there's
and that's
the
work.
That German zoo, you just have to like have mercy killings.
True story. The only time I've ever requested books from John to review, JP had already requested them.
Well, yeah, you know, it's funny. We have a lot of readers who have the same taste, so I get that a lot where it's like, oh, can I get this one? It's like, oh, already spoken for and mailed. Sorry, you know.
Oh, and then there was the one time I requested one, and you completely ignored my request and sent it to somebody else.
Ooh.
Which is fine.
That is hot cold.
Yeah, that wasn't that. What that didn't hurt my feelings at all.
Maybe you made a joke about bagels that week.
Is bagels going to be number four after barbecue now? What is up with this?
So, for Delilah's benefit, John is originally from New York, and now he lives in Texas.
Bagels.
No pizza, no bagels.
No pizzas, no bagels. Yes. Yeah. So if his family, they occasionally go to New York, and it's kind of funny because at my new job, there's a gentleman who I call him Rockabilly Dan, and his wife is from New York, and they are in New York right now. And I asked him before he left. I said, "So what are your plans in New York?" And he started listing off delis.
Yeah.
And he's like, my wife, we have to go to this one, and we have to go to this one, and then we have to go to this place, and we have to. And he's just listing off all these places where they get food, and it's like bagels and
that's
deli.
That's what you do. Yo, we want to go to this place, and you want to go to that place. It's, and I want to see some family.
Yeah. And they're going to be there for nine
food
days.
And people. food and
that's,
people.
That's a lot of bagels.
Yeah, and so the one of the long running gags here is that John is trapped in a place where he can't get good bagels.
Yes.
I like those cupcakes now. We moved into the mountains and there's only one bakery here and they kind of suck. It's painful.
Then I won't tell you about the mini muffins that my boss brought in the other day. They were so
They don't good. Have icing. I have no interest.
Oh, they were
I
so
understand
good.
Understand muffins. It's like a naked cupcake.
So I'm thinking, Fred,
Patrick,
that you should suggest a book and that all our listeners and John and maybe Delilah should read it.
This is like going to be like a homework assignment.
Are we going to be tested?
Go ahead, Fred, make it good.
We could make it easy and put one in that he already read. We just make him reread it.
And I probably won't make Delilah read it because she's an actual working author and has things to write on her own. But I think everybody else should do it, and then we'll just put it out there and we'll tell all the regulars that this is the book we picked, and that if they read it, they got a good shot of coming on that episode to talk about it and what they liked about it, what they didn't like about it. So I'm giving you, Fred, the ability to choose the inaugural book.
Okay, how about...
With power comes great responsibility, so don't mess this up.
Yeah, thanks. Your
trademark Marvel.
Don't blow it, Fred.
Considering that I got an email the other day saying, unless you get another email from me, I did not choose you to be on this episode of the podcast because I had such an overwhelming response. So, of course, I didn't think about this.
That's what makes it fun. You're picking it on the sly. You just turn around, point.
Just close your eyes, spin around, walk into the book fort, and whatever trips you... Pick it.
You don't want me to pick one of them because that's all the nonfiction about the Vietnam War.
Oh, yeah, no, that's
okay. Annihilation by Jeff Vandermeer.
There you go.
It's short. It's new. It's getting a lot of buzz.
Is that the third book or the first
book? That's the first one.
It is the first book, okay.
I didn't want to pick the third one because it's not out yet, first of all. And didn't want to pick the middle one because... People might be confused, even though my wife said the first one confused her mightily. So I would suggest that.
Okay, so that's the book. I'm going to throw it out there to everybody and tell them to go read it, and we're going to talk about it in August at some point.
Good first pick.
There we go.
There you go. So, is there anything else? Delilah, any final thoughts, anything you want to throw out there to our listeners?
I will say if you guys talked about Storium ever on the show?
I just had Stephen Hood on last night that hasn't actually aired yet, and I did talk to him on Functional Nerds, but it's cool. Why don't you tell people about it?
I just wanted to make sure you guys knew about it. Storium is this Kickstarter for a combination kind of RPG storytelling card game where you do the usual kind of role-playing, but you actually tell the story as characters, as yourselves, and as storytellers. And the Kickstarter, I think they wanted $25,000, and they made over $250,000.
Correct.
So there, we see that there is an interest in this, but I was one of the first round of authors asked to write a story. So I'm writing this kind of Boardwalk Empire meets Coney Island meets abandoned asylum story called The Island of Mesmer. And so that's what I've been working on. And it's so much fun. It's got me super excited about Storium. And now I'm like, everybody has to know about this.
And if I'm not mistaken, the Kickstarter's over. However, yes, they are still taking backers on the Storium website.
Yeah. So, it's not like you'll never be able to play it if you didn't back the Kickstarter. It's becoming a thing. Capital A, capital T.
And as they reached different levels, they kept expanding and adding more worlds from more authors.
Yes.
And it just keeps going on and on and on. And now I believe that you'll even have the ability to create unique worlds. You don't have to play in somebody else's if you don't want to.
Right. And it's really cool because, like, as a writer, I know several different writers who are actually playing the game together as kind of a – like an amuse-bouche. In between books, you get together with other writers and tell this collaborative story, and it's a good way to kick yourself out of that kind of vicious, obsessive cycle we tend to get into.
No.
Yes.
First I've heard of it.
Yeah, just a bit.
Hmm.
So yeah, that's my big plug is get into Storium because there is some cool stuff coming.
There is, yes. Fred, any kind of final thoughts you want to tell people about?
I would suggest people go over to the SF Signal website and look for SF Signal's hot new podcast, The Three Horsemen. I understand our first year of episodes is actually available.
Which one of you is Angel?
So Fred,
I gotta come. Ride horses is my question. Are there horses involved?
Well, first off, it's spelled H-O-A-R-S-E because our voices are horse.
I guess it's better than like horse. But
okay. if you look at the logo, you'll get an idea of why we use things like that.
Three cranky old men.
Right.
Hey, so I gotta commend you on the Jonathan Strawn interview, getting him to do the opening of the Three Horsemen as if you were doing the Coot Street with the Coot Street opening was genius.
Hey, you know, it was just a matter of saying, Jonathan, would you like to? And he said yes.
Yeah, you know what's really funny about that is that I did that to him on SF Signal years ago.
Yeah, but it's also awesome. but that was, you know, 2 years ago awesome. Yeah, like, you know, this month.
With the thing you got to realize about John DiNardo, it's always, what have you done for me lately?
Yes.
Am I not denying that? Oh, I should be denying it. No, not at all.
Oh, John, any final thoughts?
Read more books.
Yeah. Kind of our pledge.
And eat more bear claws.
Yes.
No.
I'm gonna actually go to Panera on Saturday and eat a bear claw, and I'm gonna take another picture. I took a picture of a bear claw. I tweeted it out. I tagged John, and all I said was "boom."
If you want bread that's shaped like a bagel but isn't a bagel, it's just bread. Then by all means, go to Panera for bagels.
Yeah, go to Colorado.
Hey, we got better water. Our water is good enough to be in beer. I mean, come on.
I mean, who drinks beer now in Colorado?
We are the Mile High State, apparently. Yes, aren't we?
Right.
But we're not alone
beer
anymore. Washington.
Year, right?
Yeah, you know what? It's funny that you say that because alcohol consumption has decreased in Colorado. However, bakeries are going through the roof.
Are doing very well, yes. And Girl Scouts, too.
I wonder why that is.
Yeah, the person who opened the bakery next to the dispensary, brilliant.
Smartest person on earth.
They are, yes. All righty. Well, thanks for coming on, everybody. Delilah, why don't you tell people your website and all that good stuff?
Yes, I am Delilah S. Dawson. My website is whimsydark.com, and you can find me on Twitter, Facebook, Spotify, Instagram, Tumblr, Pinterest, all as Delilah S. Dawson.
And if you are a wannabe writer, Delilah is always giving out wonderful little nuggets of advice to writers. So you should follow her.
Thank you. Free nuggets for everybody.
Fred, why don't you tell people about your Babylon 5 fan site?
Well, if I had one, I would.
You do.
I've
seen the picture. It looks just like Babylon 5.
Bernal, B-E-R-N-A-L, alpha, at blogspot.com. And you can find me on Twitter as just Fred Kish. I'm also on Google Plus if anybody else is. Crickets.
I'm not. They're so not.
I'm on Facebook, but I'm never there, so don't bother. And I'm even on Tumblr, whatever the heck that is. But mostly Twitter.
Very cool. John?
Yes.
You're just SF Signal everywhere.
SF Signal.com, SF Signal on Twitter, SF Signal on Facebook.
But it's very important that you type the SF as capitals. If you don't.
And don't forget the space. No.
Then you get an email.
Back to Patrick.
Then you get an email.
Patrick, even when he was editing, right? Even when he was editing SF Signal, he refused to put SF Signal as, you know, capital S, capital F, space, capital S, signal. He just, like, refused. It was all, like, one word. It's like I have to, to go in and change it. Unbelievable.
He's a rebel.
I am.
Rebel.
I'm a rebel without a cause.
Without a clue, yes.
Yeah. All right,
anyway,
thanks.
That's where I am.
Yeah, thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the SF Signal podcast. Our podcast is available for download every week at sfsignal.com or via iTunes.
Look for the link to subscribe in the sidebar at sfsignal.com, and you can also search SF Signal in iTunes to find the feed. If you enjoyed this podcast, help us boost the signal by telling your friends. Visit the Hugo Award-winning sfsignal.com for all your speculative fiction needs. John D. and the SF Signal regulars offer up new content every day, from weekly mind melts featuring your favorite authors, editors, and artists from the SFNF field, to book reviews, original articles and essays, new author spotlights, movie reviews, videos, science fiction, fantasy, and horror tidbits, free fiction roundups, and the new genre-related crowdfunding roundups. Click the RSS button in the sidebar to ensure you never miss a post. The SF Signal podcast is powered by the Functional Nerds.
Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo?
Angry robot.
Magic Wooey.
Wah, wah.
Thinking and crap.
And scene.